This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
Welcome to the Leadership Forum.
We call this the Leadership Forum,
where we discuss leaders and followers.
It's not a political trick.
This episode is a repeat of the live session that happens on Monday's Mid Morning Show with Omboi Mboro.
Every once in a while, we have to talk about some issues that affect all of us.
Featuring the Bishop of Christ is the Answer Ministries, Bishop David Oginde.
There are things that one can be able to do in order for them to be able to get to where they want to go.
The Leadership Forum.
Leadership Forum, only on Hope FM.
Listen and live.
So we go to the Leadership Forum. Bishop of Christ is the Answer Ministries with us. How are you doing, Bishop?
I'm very well, thank you.
You're well?
Yes.
It's been hot this season. Oh,
it is hot, yes.
When is the last time it was this kind of climate, weather?
I can't quite tell, but it has been hot.
I'm thinking I haven't felt it like this myself.
Yeah.
So they should use me to determine when is the last time Kenya experienced this kind of heat.
But it tells us that the warnings we were given are actually real.
Yes.
Mm. Our dealing with the environment is real.
It's real.
Yeah.
All right.
It's real.
That's the one thing we should take home.
Wangari Maathai said that nature is very harsh.
And unforgiving.
And unforgiving. And I think that reality is hitting us.
Yes, it is hitting us.
Yeah.
Wow. So last time we were looking at factors that make leaders destructive.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, 5 critical factors. And we talked of charisma. We talked of personalized use of power.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just about to get to narcissism. When time ran out. You remember?
Oh, really?
I think so.
We went that far.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah, we just did personalized use of power.
Right.
And just before we could go to the third, we ran out of time.
Okay.
Yes. So yeah. Do we pick it up from
right,
there?
Right there.
All right.
Right there. Yeah. Narcissism.
Yes.
Is what we were about to talk about. Basically, what we, for those of who may be joining us and may not understand what we are talking about, we are talking about destructive leadership. And in destructive leadership, we said that there are 3 factors that lead or could lead to destructive leadership.
Mm-hmm.
One is the destructive leader. That's what we'll call this person. And 2 are susceptible followers.
Yes.
And 3 is conducive environments. This is what is called the toxic
triangle.
This is based on a study by some 3 scholars, known as Art Padilla, Robert Hogan, and Robert Kaiser. They did an extensive research on destructive leadership. And so they came up with these three showed up as the factors that combine to bring about destructive leadership. The destructive leader, the leader himself, would have some characteristics that tends towards destructive leadership.
Yes.
The followers also would have certain characteristics that contribute towards destructive leadership. The environment within which leadership is taking place could also provide a conducive situation that leads or lends itself to destructive leadership.
Yes.
So this is what they found in their study, and we are just looking at each of these so that we see how does this come about. So we were at the point of looking at the leader.
Yes.
This person called the leader.
Within the triangle.
Within the triangle. We are looking at the leader himself, and we say that there are 5 critical factors that describe a destructive leader.
All right.
Or could lead towards destructive leadership. One of them is charisma, which we talked about.
Yes.
We talked about personalized use of power. And then we are now at number three, which is narcissism.
Yes.
Generally, narcissism involves dominance, arrogance, a sense of entitlement, a selfish pursuit of pleasure. And what these scholars call grandiosity, this is a display of what can I call it? Something grandiose, doing things in a big way, you know, exaggerated way of doing things.
Yes.
So whatever this leader does, it's done in a grandiose manner. They appear in a grandiose manner. You'll find that these kind of people are show-offish. They can't touch a word.
From show-off. It's okay.
They tend to show off.
They are show off.
Therefore, you'll find that they want to do things in a manner that shows that you know they are around.
Yes.
Yeah.
You cannot ignore.
You cannot
these
ignore
people.
Them. You cannot miss them.
Yes.
That is what narcissism is all about.
Uh-huh.
So narcissist leaders are generally self-absorbed. They tend to draw attention towards themselves. They seek to be seen, if we use worshipped, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
They do not want people that ignore their viewpoints. They are at the center of everything that happens. They are the sun and the moon and the stars revolve around them.
Yes.
If we use that.
Yes.
Yeah. So the planets, you know, revolve around them.
Uh-huh.
Because they are the center of everything.
Yes.
Often they claim special knowledge and privilege. They have this. When they say something, it should not be challenged because they are the all and in all and ends with them. So when you find a leader that basically his word is law, because they don't expect that somebody would know better than they do.
No one should.
Yes. They have special
they have
knowledge.
They know it all.
Know it all.
Okay.
They demand unquestioning obedience. Narcissist leaders. So it is my way or
the highway.
The highway. So that is the kind of leader that becomes destructive because of that sense of behavior. They have a sense of entitlement that even when they do certain things that people would imagine is not right or wrong, or is wrong, they can justify it because they are the leader. You know, I am the leader, so whatever I do is right. And so you should not question it. So they have this sense of entitlement. That's why this grandiosity comes about, because there's no one to check it. If they want to drive a big car, they buy that big car. If they want a plane, they buy the plane. If they can afford it, they will. If they can afford it, if the organization can afford it, they will do it. So they live large. I think that's the word.
They live large.
They live large with this sense of entitlement. And therefore, because of that, they become autocratic. They do not seek people's opinions or listen to other people's views. It is their views. So that is narcissism.
Yes.
Narcissism.
Which psychologists call a disorder. It's a personality disorder.
It is.
He's a sick man.
Really?
And he's the leader.
He's a sick. He sounds sick, actually. He sounds sick. And we will come to just look at what leads to this.
All right.
And you are right that this in most cases, they are sick people.
Okay.
Sick people. They are suffering from some kind of disorder.
Yes.
The fourth one.
Yes.
Is what we call negative life themes.
Yes.
That's negative
life themes.
These people tend to have a negative life story, and it leads to what we have just talked about. So these negative life stories work in actually two opposite ways. For some people, it works positively. For some people, it works negatively. A negative life story reflects the extent to which a leader has had a destructive image of his or her role in the world. In other words, this person has suffered things in the course of their lives.
Mm.
And this is what kind of gives them a sense of entitlement. Because I have suffered so much in my past, you know. And when they give the stories, it's like they want to draw sympathy.
And the story is real.
The story is real.
Okay.
The story is real.
Mm-hmm.
They could have been abandoned in childhood. They could have come from a very poor family,
mm-hmm.
You know, and have worked through life to get to where they are.
They've worked very hard.
Worked very hard to get to where they have got. They could have suffered persecution.
Even.
You know, in the course of their earlier lives.
Injustice. Okay.
And so those kinds of life themes, negative life themes, unfortunately, is what makes them feel entitled. You were not there when we were struggling.
You
were not there.
You have no idea.
You have no idea where
we've been through.
What I have gone through.
To get here.
To get where I am.
Okay.
You know, I have suffered in life. So it is put in such a way that then you allow that person to do certain things or get away with certain things because you are not there.
So you agree with him?
Basically, yes.
Because
these are true stories. In most cases, they are true stories. There are people who may create stories, but in most cases, they are true stories of what these people have suffered. They may have come from a very poor background. And when they tell you how poor they were as they grew up and using our language, they were hustlers.
Yes.
You know, and they have risen through the ranks to get to where
they are.
So there's a sense in which they are entitled to enjoy the pleasures of life because why do you want to take me back to where I came from? And you grew up in a very nice environment. Your parents.
They love saying that.
Yes.
Such people, I guess, would be the ones who love saying you grew up with a silver spoon.
Oh, yes. In your mouth.
In your mouth.
We have struggled through life. You know. So that kind of silences other people.
Sure.
When these kinds of leaders now try to live this grandiose life, you know, this very extravagant lifestyle and so on. You give them room because after all, they suffered in their earlier life. So why should you deny them that opportunity?
And that way we become part of the toxic triangle.
Yes,
by being too understanding of this story.
Yes, now you have moved to the next person. yes, as a follower,
yes,
that will lead to the toxic triangle because you begin to sympathize and give them room.
Yeah, sure.
Want to question them because, yeah, that is what where they came from. We are poor people. We are strugglers. We are, you know,
sufferers.
So give us room to also enjoy ourselves.
I can see that.
Sometimes it's a traumatic childhood that can dispose a person to destructive leadership. This person suffered as a child, and the trauma they suffered can cause them to also want to inflict pain in other people. This now is almost the opposite. Instead of them enjoying life for themselves, they also want others to suffer the way they suffered.
Yeah.
So if, for example, that trauma was part of poverty, they would not want to see other people rich or other people enjoying life, because you should also suffer the way I suffered. And this sometimes happens even in families. You find a parent who struggled in early life, it works in opposite direction. Some parents who suffered in early life lavish their children,
yes,
because they don't want their children to suffer
the way they
suffered.
Yeah.
The opposite one is they want their children to also suffer. This is what I have worked for. You also work for your own.
Mm.
You know, for me, when I was a little child, I didn't have these pleasures. So struggle.
Yeah.
Why do you want them? You struggle, get to your place where I also got to. If I made it, you can also make it. So it's you can see it works in opposite direction. So one says, I suffered too much in my childhood. I do not want to see my child suffer the same way.
Mm.
The other one is saying, I suffered so much. My child must also learn, you know, to struggle through life and make it.
Both indeed have the negative life experience. Both,
exactly.
Why has one become a positive to some extent and the other one, it's the same past?
Both are bad, by the way.
Okay.
Both are bad. The one who is lavishing their children, or in this case, their followers, with all these luxuries,
goodies,
is just as bad as the one who is denying.
It doesn't sound bad to me. That
it doesn't
like...
sound bad, but you see, they're not... the person who lavishes their children with all these things because they themselves suffered, my child should not suffer. Sometimes they deny those children opportunity to develop themselves and take sense of responsibility. So you'll find that children who come out of that kind of an environment have no sense of responsibility. Everything was provided for. They never worked. They can't clean anything. You know, my child cannot go to the kitchen, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the house girl is there to do everything. The cleaner cleans the place. The car is washed for them and everything. So this child does not have opportunity to develop a sense of personal
responsibility.
That child is spoiled,
or even
and they will not survive in the real world.
Yeah, life skills lacking.
Yeah, there are life skills that are lacking. So that parent is just as bad as the one who is denying their children the basics of life. Because I suffered, I made it. You can also suffer. You will make it. So you can find a child is being forced to walk to school when the car is there. You know, because I walk to school myself. Why can't you walk? So it creates another trauma in that child, because other children are being dropped to school. My father has a car. It's parked at home. I have to walk to school. If the car was not there, that's a different story. But to deny that child those little privileges of life simply because you yourself
never got them
is also just as bad. And that can be carried into a working environment in a leadership situation where a leader denies their followers the luxuries or no, the privileges of life because they themselves suffered. So you should also suffer. But there's the other leader who will now just give people everything. And because we suffered so much, I can't allow you people to also suffer. So you find that both are not good. It's the in-between, the balance that is important and necessary.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
The other area of these negative light things is abuse. If a person comes from a place where they were abused as children, again, they will either distance themselves from others, they will not trust people, and so they are lone rangers because of that fear that this person could abuse me the way I was abused. And though they are leaders, they always think that people want to take advantage of them. And that's why they are not trusting in anybody, because this person could be wanting to take advantage of me the way I was taken advantage of when I was a little child.
Mm.
So they don't trust people. On the other hand, these people who are abused can also become very submissive.
Oh.
Because...
In an extreme way.
Yeah, but they are not the destructive leaders, because the destructive leaders are generally narcissists. So they will not be submissive. But you may find them in the followers who just give in to everything.
So they're still in the toxic triangle.
They're still part of the toxic triangle.
All right. Wow.
Examples are given of people who have been destructive leaders. People like Joseph Stalin, Hitler.
Mussolini. What made Hitler?
They suffered in their childhood.
Mm.
That is what has been found. Stalin had abusive, alcoholic father who beat them together with the mother when they were young. And so he just came to hate everybody. And same with Hitler. He had a very abusive childhood, and they experienced childhood distress. People like Mussolini and Fidel Castro, those kinds of people. So you find that life themes follow them into their leadership, and it expresses itself in various ways that are destructive.
Mm.
Yeah. So basically what it means is that as a leader, one needs to be sure that they do not carry their personal experiences into their leadership role, because it could contribute to this destructive leadership.
How do you do that? How do you separate yourself from what you've been through?
That is another topic altogether, in what we call the personal mastery or self-leadership.
And we talked about it at some point.
I think we have talked about self-leadership at some point.
Self-leadership, yes.
Mm-hmm. So that personal mastery, self-awareness, that's part of it, that... You become aware of who you are and what are you are capable of doing. You know?
I'm capable of this.
Yes.
I'm aware of that.
You are aware of it.
Yeah.
That because of my background,
yes,
I can talk harshly to people. That awareness helps you to control yourself in given situations. So that when you're about to talk harshly to a person, you realize, hey, there I go again.
It is that the problem.
It is, yes.
It is not this
person. So then you hold yourself and you are able to deal with that situation in a more balanced manner.
Yes.
But if you're not aware, there are people who actually are not aware and they just say, that is who I am. That's just how I am. And they, that saying, just who I am, is like almost an excuse that I can beat you up and say, that is just who I am.
Mm.
No, that is who you are, but you can control it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can beat your body and keep it under
control.
Yeah.
All right.
So that self-awareness can help you.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
The last one, number five on that destructive leaders, is the ideology of hate.
I'm trying to see what we said about that, if at all. That's just what we say. Ideology of hate.
Ideology of hate.
Uh-huh.
This is a characteristic in a person which has such hatred for people who don't agree with them.
A characteristic.
Yes. It is a characteristic in an individual.
Mm.
If you don't agree with a person, it is not left at that. It develops into a hatred that is destructive. So you will pursue people who don't agree with you to the maximum point you can get to show them who you are. It's really a very deep kind of hatred. So that whoever crosses your path, that person becomes an enemy. And that enemy cannot live. You have to destroy them. You have to finish them. And there are people like that. You know, you disagree with them in the office, and they will follow you up. They will look for ways of dealing with you. And if that person is a leader, in which case they have both authority and power, finishing you is not a problem.
It's easy.
Yeah, it's easy. So if you cross their path, you are gone. Whether that going is you are being sacked, or you are being undermined, or you are being thrown out, whatever it is, and sometimes being killed, it is a bad spirit.
That's a spiritual problem, yes. You're right, it's spiritual.
It is a spiritual problem. All these things are spiritual. Being a pastor, you see the spirit.
Yeah, this is spiritual. This kind of hatred?
This kind of hatred is spiritual.
Is it learned?
It is not learned. You see,
you called it an ideology.
It's an ideology in the sense that, you see, that if we disagree with you,
yes,
Omboy,
yeah,
there's a sense in which I can deal with that disagreement very objectively.
Yeah.
What we call agree to disagree.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You had one point of view, I had a different point of view, and therefore we did not agree.
Yeah, like when we don't agree on John the Baptist, for example.
What about him?
You're always saying that he could.
That he did what? I don't know. I remember us disagreeing over John the Baptist. You are going to cause me to hate you. Yeah.
That is really funny. Well, you keep talking about John the Baptist and saying how he confronted Herod. And you compare him with how Nathan confronted David.
Just from a human point of view,
yes.
I have said that and I believe it because I think John the Baptist could have lived
to tell the story
if he handled that situation with wisdom.
I've always not agreed with that.
No problem. We agree to disagree.
Good.
But that now should not bring hatred because you see, now there are people who, when you disagree with them, it develops into hatred. Now we can't, when I see you coming, I take a different route because that person, I just don't like him. I hate him. Now imagine with a place where now that person is a leader. They will look for opportunities to destroy you. They will look for opportunities to mess you up.
Yeah.
So that is where it becomes ideology in the sense that these people believe the only way to deal with people who disagree with you is to destroy them. So they have no in-between where we can just disagree, but we are still friends. You know?
We disagree, we become enemies.
We disagree, we become enemies. That is their ideology. And there are people like that, not just leaders.
And
there are people like that, and they have enemies everywhere. You talk to them and say, oh, by the way, I met one. That person. You know, do you talk to him? That person is terrible. And they tell you now how this person became terrible. And it is a small thing they disagreed on. And that person has become their enemy. They can't go to their wedding. They can't give them anything. They will not give them opportunity. If he calls a meeting, I will not go. Simply because you disagreed on a small thing.
Sure.
It has now become an ideology. And any person you disagree with is put in that basket.
Mm.
So you find people who have so many enemies everywhere.
Mm.
You mention a name, that's a bad person. That is why we call it ideology. And these people, these kind of leaders are like that. They operate under that ideology. Anybody who crosses their path, anybody who disagrees with them is their enemy.
Wow.
And it doesn't end at that. Enemies are to be destroyed. They are to be eliminated.
You're not just there as an enemy. I'm now scheming.
I scheme for ways to make you pay.
You pay for this.
You pay for this. So that is what makes it so bad. So it is not a passive kind of thing. It is an active. They will look for opportunity. I will follow you to where you work and
ensure
that you are sacked or something.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a bad spirit.
It's real hatred,
Yes, it is hatred. That's the word. It's not a dislike.
This person can't be a Christian.
Unfortunately, there are Christians like that.
Then how do you face God? Will you face God if you're a Christian and walking in hatred and vengeance, it seems?
Yes.
Okay. So that's the fifth one. We will pick it up from there. This is the Leadership Forum on Hope FM. My name is Wambo Imburo, and with us is the Bishop of Christ is the Answer Ministries, Bishop David Ogunle.
Join us next week for the second episode of the Leadership Forum.
Inaendeshwa na AfriPods.